Nothing but the blood. We're living in a world that is not very pleasant. Have any of you been noticing that? Have you noticed that you're watching the news and then you have a tendency, let me turn it on Mickey Mouse or something? Because you just are tired of hearing it. And people saying the exact same things and nothing ever changing. Now, in saying that, and you're noticing it, I want you to realize when God is watching us, God sent His Son, and His Son gave His blood so that you and I would have salvation. And God says, I love you this much. That's a lot of love to give your son on a cross. Watch your own son die such a horrible death for people that didn't even love him. Yet God did that. And God says, okay, you're responsible for you. You know, now, Lord, you're going to make me responsible for all these people, Larry? They're on their own. You're responsible for you. But if you don't do what I call you to do, and you don't say and speak my words to them, that's going to cause them to go astray. And I will hold their blood accountable by your hand. Woo! Okay, Lord. I got that. That's scripture. If I give you the right food, then God will not hold me responsible. If I don't feed you God's food, I'm responsible along with you. So God looks at us and He says, I want you to understand something. I want you to understand the facts of life according to me, says God. The facts of life according to God. Now, all the facts of life that you think that you know or were taught, they're not going to mean anything. They already don't. The facts that's going to matter to you are the facts that God gives you in your heart. And before He says anything, He says, shows us that He loves us. Love is awesome, folks. Love is expressed in your action to the other. Now, gentlemen, if you're waiting every year for February the 14th before you show your woman that you love her, February the 14th is not going to do you any good. Every day, express your love to that lady and ladies, to that man that God has sent your way for your partner in life. You do it in action. Oh, honey, I love you. You can't catch those kind of kisses, people. They got to be real. God said, I'm going to get real with you. I'm going to get so real with you, I want you to know something. There are facts in this life that I'm going to instill in your heart so that you can live in this world. Nothing easy about living in this world. Good gracious, there's nothing easy about living and putting up with each other. Do you know that we're different? It's those differences that pull us together. And we say, I love you. I just would not feel loved if I had to wait one time a year for God to express his love to me. He's expressed his love to me. Larry, I love you. It's like you're already here. I know you're already with me, Larry. But now, I'm not through with you down there yet. When you get to hurting bad enough, you'll think, now, Lord, think that over. But I'm not through with you. But what does he expect out of you and me? I want you to be honest with yourself, with me, and with the ones you say you love. Fact number one, there's a universal law of the living God. It's called the law of the harvest. That law of the harvest is tough. You sow it, you reap it. God says your life is that way. You sow it, you reap it. Listen to Galatians 5 or 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. You don't want trouble? Don't sow trouble. You don't want an argument? Don't start one. And if one begins, gentlemen, be wise. Yes, dear. And leave it alone. You got it? Your pastor's helping you, boys. Or trying to. Oh, but I got my opinion. Keep it to yourself. You know, and be at peace. Valentine's Day is coming up. Don't push your luck. The law of the harvest, you sow it, you reap it, but what happens? God, why did you let this happen? I didn't sow it, Larry. You reaped it, you sowed it. Don't blame me. You did it. It's your crop. Here's the problem I found with new Christians. And some of you get a little nervous when I question you, did you do good this week? You still at the foot of the cross? And then what? What did I do? And how did he find out? That's life. God says this to you. I want you to learn to live down there on earth because I'm going to keep you there so you can help others see me. Every one of us have a purpose. That purpose is to point out the love of Christ. I have a testimony. My testimony is what is called, like yours, your personal testimony. I can't tell you about somebody else's life, but I can tell you what Christ has done in my life. That's called a testimony. And when somebody hears that testimony, then they say, you know, I've got that similar stuff going in my life. If the Lord will save Larry Vance, oh my goodness, I got a shot. So God looks at us and he says, I want you to battle the bad crops. That's right. Now, you sowed the crop's going to grow. You're guaranteed the crop's going to grow. And then you're a new Christian, and you're thinking, what hope do I have? And Satan leads you in to remembering your past. Have you noticed when Satan does that, it's always the past mistakes? He don't bring to mind all the good things that you were a part of, but just the bad crops that you sowed. And then you're questioning your own Christianity. You get to questioning your God. Am I really saved? Well, I had a bad desire. Something came out of my mouth the other day that I don't remember ever coming out of it, and I wished I hadn't said it, but it's out there. And if you're foolish enough to put it on Facebook, it's out there through eternity, people. God says, you sowed it, but I love you. This is called grace. Now, Randy Kidder and I love grace. And the more grace that we get, the better we are at giving it. To be gracious with one another. Larry, I didn't mean to accidentally run into the side of your truck. The grace inside of you says, don't you worry, you're forgiven. It's only a piece of metal. But your mind, which is that part Satan gets a hold of, you get that close to my truck one more time. God says this, you sowed the crop, but that bad crop is not your destruction. I'm going to give you a way to deal with the bad crop. Young Christians say, I don't know what to do. I've messed up. I can't go back and change that stuff. Then we look at, how do I go back to make a difference? You know, I sowed that crop. Can I go back and burn it? No. No, it's there. God says, here's your answer. Sow a new crop. The new crops that you sow once you become a Christian are the crops that grow also. You sowed them, they're going to grow. Sow more good crops in your Christian walk than the bad crops in your life when you weren't a Christian. You got me? You sow more and more. It seems the others get smaller and smaller. You can't take it back. You can't take the bad back, the bad back. You can't change it. You can't go back and change it. It's already happened. So therefore, God says, don't blame me, you sowed it, but here's your out. Your out is now you're born again, born from above, born anew. Here's what I want you to do. Sow a crop that's been blessed. Do good to one another. Have peace with one another. Know the right thing to do through my word and attempt to do it. Satan will get in your way. You're going to mess up. Reality Christianity is simple. You're a Christian now, but the reality of your Christian walk is this. You're going to mess up. You're going to stumble. Sometimes you're going to fall. And when you stumble and you fall, that's what fellow Christians are all for. We look in the ditch of life and we'll jump down there with you. We don't care what anybody says. That doesn't bother me anymore at all. Never has for years. I know my calling. You have a calling. That person right beside of you is your calling. That person you know that God put you in touch with, that's your calling. That happens to be your harvest. What are you going to sow with them? Love, peace, unity, understanding, forgiveness, or bitterness, hate, revenge, viciousness? Well, that's the old way. You're on a new path. Take it. Forgive one another. Lift each other up. Fact number two. In case you didn't know it, there is another God. And he's quite active in this world. There is another God. Luke 22, verse 31 through 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed. This is just before Peter denied Christ. Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. In the Greek, that actually for you is plural, meaning for all of the disciples. Satan wanted to get at him. You remember those of you who do a lot of studying in Scripture, Job, that Satan went to God and asked that Job may attack, or God, that Satan may attack Job, and God God put limits on him, that's fine. You go ahead. But you cannot take his life. Now, that's the God you want on your side, or you want to be on his side. Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. Did you know that Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of God the Father, making intercessory prayer for you right now? That your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, Jesus is saying, and poor Peter, but Lord, I'm with you right now. Now, Peter, you're getting ready to walk away. When you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Peter's courage, listen to me. Peter's courage failed during the crucifixion. He denied that he knew Jesus. This is a man that was ready to do anything for the Lord, but his courage failed. And he's cursed to prove that he wasn't a Christian to the Roman guards. I don't know this man. And he slid into cursing to show them he wasn't part of this Christian movement. His courage failed. When you come under pressure, whether it's in combat, wherever it is, what you think you'll do, you don't. Then it's inside you. Then you become sometimes a different person in combat. Same way in the Christian war, the war for your faith. Peter got nervous. His Savior crucified. Everybody falling apart around him. He saw Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, betray Jesus for money. And he broke. But his faith didn't. His courage failed, but his faith didn't. And the scripture says that Peter went off and wept bitterly. Those were tears of repentance. And in that repenting spirit, the hand of God, the voice of God, the Spirit of God came upon him. Peter, strengthen your brethren. Every Christian's going to mess up. But we don't have a right to keep doing it the same way because it was fun. Because after the fun, you find out it wasn't fun. And hearts are broken. Lives destroyed so often. So what do? I'm going to sow the new crop. I'm not going to do that anymore. And Lord, when I come to that splitting point in my life, to those crossroads, lead me, Father, that I might from my heart cry out, Lord, have mercy. Lead me out of temptation. And do you know the Lord said, I will. I'll do that. Satan ain't going to mess with Jesus. Jesus already threw him out of heaven, so he's not going to mess with Jesus. And the Jesus in you is the same Jesus that threw him out to begin with. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 4. But even if our gospel is veiled, meaning even if Jesus spoke in parables and the people aren't understanding it, it is veiled to those who are perishing, those who don't know Christ. That's where you and I come in. There are those in their family. And let me tell you, I know trying to lead someone close to you and your family is the hardest task. That's why I always say, show them. What do I go to church? I don't know. Come with me. I'll show you. I'm not good at those kind of directions. You're not good at directions for their life either, because you want them to think just like you, and that's not going to happen. They're individuals just as you are. Therefore, lead them to the same Savior you have. Bring them in to the same Savior you have, and let Him instill His word in their heart. Whose minds, here it is, what I told you. There is another God. Whose minds, the God of this age, how old English says the God of this world, had blinded. These are people who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. If they would believe, they'd be saved. So Satan does everything to blind them, for they can't see the word. Well, don't we sing, let others see Jesus in you? You and I are to carry the vision of Jesus. Let them see Jesus in you. Do something good. People are tired of getting criticized. Don't criticize them. Love them. Show them the way. If you know they're lost, if you know they don't know any better, then quit being offended because of the vocabulary that they have in front of you. You know, when I was doing training for all the volunteers that would go in the prison system in the state of Kentucky, when I was doing that training, one of the greatest troubles that I had during all that time were Christians telling me, I was just offended by those words. Well, get a life. I had 350 active volunteers, and your pastor was rough as a cob as a prison chaplain and also in the training. Folks, life isn't easy. And you are responsible for your life. But what God calls you to do is to help others be responsible in their life. You do that with showing them the way, showing them the word. Fact number three. Here's the victory. You ready for it? I like victory. I like victory in Jesus, Brother Randy. I like the victory. I have witnessed the love of Christ in the heart of some of the hardest core criminals in this country, folks. During those days when I dealt in what they called a segregation unit at prison, and I was the chaplain, and I met those personalities, I heard them curse God. I wasn't offended. I hurt for them. But that was my calling. And I could get by with stuff that I would say to them that somebody else wouldn't, because that was my calling. And they knew that I cared. But I wouldn't put up with the foolishness. Well, you see, that's what's destroying the churches today. Foolishness. Christian brothers and sisters arguing. Foolishness coming into the church. The church is not for entertainment. The church is for the proclamation of the word of God through music, through teaching, through preaching. It is to tell you the truth, because it's a hard world. Our young folk finding themselves in the middle of the quicksand of the land, the quicksand of the times in which they're living. You show them. Here's the way. James 4, verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Well, that lets me know that sometimes we don't resist. Sometimes we play along with Satan, especially if it's our favorite sin. We just let it happen. I'm forgiven. Yeah, but you're going to hurt a whole lot of people in that process. Don't do it. Here's what we do. In Ephesians 6, 11 through 18, you will see how it's the armor of God that is dressed. I'm not going to read it. But you have a record of it there to go to it and look at it. First of all, as you enter each day, put on the belt of truth. This is the armor of God, the belt of truth. If Jesus said it, you can believe it. That this book called the Bible, every bit of it is the word of God. God breathed. Everything in this book is God breathed. You got it? Not just part of it, all of it. God breathed. Put on the belt of truth. God says, I've told you the truth. Read it. Read the truth for that situation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Have that desire in you to do what is right. Not what you feel like you want to do. Do what's right. What is the right attitude for me to have in this situation? Do what's right. Put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. Christians are to spread the gospel of peace. You know what the gospel of peace is? Do you know when you're reading it and you say, well, you got to be a peacemaker? Come on, Pastor, you got to go over there and you got to get in the middle of that mess and you be the peacemaker. And what the scripture is telling me to do is to share the peacemaker with them. I am to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel of peace. I can't bring peace between people. That's why I quit counseling. In pastoral counseling, no, you won't find a pastor, very few, that will even counsel any longer in church. Well, I want a Christian counselor. Then we'll go to find a Christian counselor. You know why pastors had to quit? It's a no-win situation. You're getting couples back together. You're getting situations back together. You learn too much in the sessions. You know too much about family. The family gets embarrassed. Everybody leaves the church. That's exactly what happens. So therefore, we go for our calling. Larry, preach my word. Thank you, Lord. And then you preach the gospel of peace. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then put on the shield of faith. As I said to you, that Peter's courage failed, but his faith didn't. He was wavering, but he went out and wept bitterly because he knew who Jesus was. Put on the helmet of salvation. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, my friends, none of the rest of it's going to do you any good. Without knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, heaven is just a figment of your imagination. You won't see it. That's a fact. The helmet of salvation. Is that difficult? Lord, I'm sorry for the sin in my life. Save me. He said, if I call on his name, he'll save me. Lord, I call on your name. Save me. It is that faith, you believing that Jesus will do it, because you sure been in a mess doing it for yourself, haven't you? After you're saved, you're walking with Christ now. Make the rest of your life the best of your life. cancer right now, make the rest of your life the best of your life. Are you getting the idea here? Right where you are right now, you make the rest of your life the best of your life. And there's one more word on this. Satan cannot change the eternal destiny or the security of the believer. Satan can't change that. God gave it to you. Oh, you're secure. So act like it. You get out on those front lines. You let people know that you care, that you love, because of who Jesus is in you. Don't start judging them. Love them, please. Just like Jesus loves you. That's God's word. And it doesn't get better than God's word. Let's pray. Father, we praise your holy name, giving you thanks, asking for your strength, Lord, for your guidance, for your courage, for your boldness. We admit that we are weak, Father, but we know that you are strong. Touch us now that we might make commitments to you. And Father, if any are here that have not accepted you as Lord and Savior, convict their heart, Father, that they might say, "Here I am, Lord, save me." Touch them, Father, for we ask it in Jesus' name.